Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of— You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you've listened long enough, you know one of the passions of my heart is that you be healed from the inside out, healed in whatever way you need healing, because Jesus, the Savior that we follow, is also a healer. And I know also that you love it. Every month I have Dr. Troy on the show to talk about health and the healing process. He's a chiropractor, functional med doctor with a neurology emphasis. That's when we get the most texts, because we all show up with something in us that needs healing. So if you love my Dr. Troy shows, you're going to love today's show, because I've got a new friend who's also a functional med doc. Dr. Ben Rall joins me today. We're going to talk about his insightful book, Designed to Heal, 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness. I mean, if this is not in my lane, I don't know what else is. We've got a handful of copies to give away. If you need a short daily devotional read that kind of packs a punch, walks you through scripture, challenges you to look up, also challenges you to participate with God in your healing process, which you need to do, hey, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. A quick announcement before we hear from Dr. Ben. If you're traveling, we'd love for you to take us with you. I don't know if you know this, but the app is free, and we've got listeners from 170 countries because of that app. Isn't that amazing? So if you listen by way of radio and you're traveling, go to the App Store, just look for Faith Radio Network, and you'll find it. Download it, and you can take us with you. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Ben Rall is a wellness-based chiropractor who's taught tens of thousands of people over the last 20 years about the healing power of Jesus Christ. He's traveled the globe teaching and preaching about health and wellness from a biblical perspective. He lives in Orlando, Florida with his family. He's an author. He's a podcast host and operates Achieve Wellness. The book we're talking about today matches the title of his podcast, Designed to Heal. This one is the 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness. Dr. Ben, I've been looking forward to this conversation. Thanks for joining me.
Me as well. Very excited to be on the show. Thank you for having me. And when you were talking earlier about, you know, excited to be on, we were able to introduce you to our audience a month or so ago. And without an exaggeration, Susie, we had so much feedback on that. And I know so many people have been blessed by your work and your ministry on this. So thank you so much. Honored to be here.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Well, before we get into your backstory, which I can't wait to hear because I actually don't even know, but I love so much your passion for God and for people to be healed. We always start with a personal question. It's this: what has God just been impressing upon your heart these days?
Yeah, well, it's really clear. Sometimes, you know, you're not sure, like, well, what's really going on? But lately I have been really working through finishing our race well, and life. And what's interesting, and just a few quick examples and to why this has been on my heart, we look at examples like King Asa as an example, or Solomon, some of these men of God that didn't finish well. And when there's many things there was amazing parts to their life and to their ministry, but make no mistake, right? We are called to be renewed daily. And when I think about even healing, and I think about, we can make, you know, great lifestyle choices, you know, today or for a week or for a month or for a year even. But then if we just throw it all away, there's repercussions for that. And so this is about really running our race daily. So there's just been pressed into me just this idea of consistency and staying in this thing for the long haul. And it's not always related to health, but in this instance, it really is important as well. Our daily walk, our daily habits matter so much. So that's what's been on my heart lately.
Wow, that's really what's been on my heart as well. So I so appreciate that. Well, I'd love a little backstory, both your faith journey, but also on how you decided to go the functional medicine route.
Yeah. Well, so I am a little familiar with your area where you live. I actually was born and raised in South Dakota. And when I was younger, I was a boxer. I was an athlete, and I was pretty good at it. So I'm this small little kid, you know, from the Midwest, from South Dakota. My dad was a fireman, and one of his fireman friends was the boxing coach in town. And so we got connected, and I had some success early on. I started when I was 85 pounds, 9 years old. And I fought for many, many, many years and was actually qualified to try out for the Olympic team. The way that it works in the Olympics is in boxing is the top four, they have the, what's called the box offs, and the top four fight for a position, the winner, where the winner goes. So the Olympic Training Center is in Colorado Springs, one of them. That's where I was at. And so as I was training, I started getting sick. Now, I didn't grow up in a holistic family. I didn't really grow up in much of a faith family. My grandmother was really my spiritual kind of mentor. But I'm out there training, and I get sick, right? I don't know what's going on. I'm having all these primarily digestive issues, and it's getting serious. And I end up in the hospital, and they do an upper GI and a lower GI, right, where they take a camera down the top, and they take a camera up the other way. And I remember when I woke up, the doctor was standing over me with these, like, pages of pictures, right, like these, you know, rolled-out sheets of pictures they took during the procedure. And he said, you have so many precancerous lesions throughout your digestive system, we just stopped counting. And then he showed me pictures, and they would just be these big black, like, ulcers and bleeding and inflammation. And I was, you know, 18, 19 years old, and I remember thinking, like, this can't be happening. And again, like I said, I didn't know much about healing, and I didn't know much about the healer. And so I said, what do I do? And they said, take these drugs. Now, this happens so many to us, so many times to us. We just get put in a place of fear. And then when we're in a place of fear, we'll make decisions that we often regret. This was one of them for me. I got put on these medications. They shut down my digestive system. If you don't know much about boxing, there's a weight classes. When you go from 165 pounds to 240 pounds in a very short period of time, you have a problem. These drugs shut down my digestive system. I got kicked out of the Olympic training program. And I often tell it this way. You know, I came back home to South Dakota sick, fat, and depressed. And I didn't know what to do. I struggled like that for 3.5 years. I'd go in every 6 months and get my scans redone. My lesions were either getting worse or staying the same. Nothing was getting better, of course, and your listeners will understand. Now I'm having side effects to the medications. And honestly, it was a very bad season of my life. I went from this elite athlete to people now talking about, you know, whispering behind my back. I could see them. I'd go into a restaurant or a place and they, you know, what happened to Ben? Like what's wrong? Right. You know, I was kind of the hometown hero, and now I'm just this kind of this loser, if you will. And I know that's hard language, but somebody said you should go to a chiropractor. And I was an anti-chiropractic. I just didn't really understand, but I probably fell in the category of a lot of people, which is, well, what are they going to do for me? Right. So I went to this doctor actually in Burnsville, Minnesota. And he was the first doctor that really sat me down and said something that changed my life. I'll get a little emotional, but he just explained to me that I was designed to heal. And he said, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and your body's not an accident. I don't think your body just forgot how to digest food when you were 18 years old. So there must be a cause to the problem. Let's see if we can find it. So in my instance, this isn't what always happened, but in my instance, I had pressure on the nerves that went to my digestive system. After that analysis, he began the process of taking care of me. Chiropractic adjustments were part of the solution. And as we got that pressure off of that, God is my witness, Susie. Within 1 week, I got off the medications that I've been on every single day for 3.5 years. I lost 67 pounds in 4 months. It changed my life. I went back in and got my scans redone. My lesions were completely healed. It's amazing, but it's not a miracle. God's you're designed to heal. When you remove the interference, the body heals. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. And so it changed my life. I decided to become a chiropractor. And it's really been my passion ever since. One of the drugs I was on is no longer on the market. It killed, estimated to kill 33,000 people a year. I may not even be here to share this story or be a dad or be a doctor. And then the last thing that happened to me related to this is when I ended up in chiropractic school, which I actually went to in Minnesota, in Bloomington, at Northwestern Chiropractic College. And one of the things you do there, now this is over 20 years ago when I was there, but you do dissections. People donate their bodies, and you start almost from day one looking, you know, studying the human body. And it's fascinating. And I was a person before I was saved where I really was afraid of death. And that would be something that would have been very uncomfortable for me to even be around a dead body. But now in my life, it was fascinating to me. And so as we began the process, we actually opened up the body. And all I can explain it as is when I saw the inside of God's design, I just knew in that instant that there's one healer, it's not me. There's one doctor, it's not me. Our job is not to figure him out. Our job is to honor and steward and take care of the bodies that he gave us. And so that changed my life. And so ever since then, I know that was maybe a long question, at least to the health, but I've really just been on a mission because there's so many people, especially in the body of Christ, that frankly don't believe they can heal. I'm honest. I just got done seeing a whole bunch of patients this morning, and I feel like I oftentimes is trying to take the spell that's been spoken over them off of them. they literally have had a spell of disease spoken in their life. And I'm talking about believers. So people that are listening to this show that have met some doctor one time 17 years ago, and he gave them a diagnosis. They've been walking around with that for the rest of their life, not believing they could be healed. And I'm telling you, that is the enemy. That is not our Lord. And I don't mean to get too intense here, but that's frankly how I see. That's how
I agree.
See it. So, what do you, wherever you want to go from there.
And if that was not even too long of an answer, and I need to tell you, you know, we've had Dr. Troy on every month for 7 years, and he didn't end up as a functional med chiropractor because he couldn't make it in med school. He was pursuing the med school path, and he, like you, had a health issue. And I seem to find that over and over again, that people would go this way, and they're like, I'm going this way, I'm going preventative care, because either they or someone they love had a health issue. And I'll just, this story will encourage you before we go to break, but I've got another good friend, and her husband's an internist, and they're godly, wonderful people, but she kept hearing Dr. Troy talk about gut health, leaky gut, different things, and their kids were dealing with some gut issues. And her dear, sweet husband, he wasn't getting results. And so she said, I love you, honey, but I'm taking the kids to Dr. Troy. And so they went. Dr. Troy helped them. And her husband is humble enough to go with and learn. And he started to shadow. Well, we're good friends with both of these couples, so we invited them out to dinner. We're now in a life group together with the functional med doc, a trauma surgeon, an internist, a brain surgeon. And these guys are all crossing each other's lanes and honoring the gift of God. And it's been so amazing to me, because there's so much ego otherwise, but I feel like I've been watching the future of healthcare. I feel like the people who are humble, who really want to honor the way God made our body, that's to me the future of healthcare. So I just honor the gift of God in you, Ben. Wow, amazing. Have you noticed that as well, as far as people getting into the functional medicine route as often as because they have a personal testimony?
Yeah, well, I think you actually nailed it, which is there's a humility. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had a cardiologist that came into my office, and this is just, you know, typically, like you said, we don't really cross lines. It's kind of like holistic on one side and the allopathic on the other side. And he came into me desperate for help, but a very humble guy. And we've been able to, you know, share stories. I take care of so many nurses and so many other just health practitioners and dentists and doctors and things like that. And, you know, The common thread to me is humility. Now, I would say that this last few years woke some people up. I think that some of the wool, you know, that was pulled over people's eyes, the scales on people's eyes has been dropped. And I think some of the just the and this is our fault as believers and critical thinkers. We do not need to hand our health or our brains over to some system. Right. We need to take personal responsibility for this. I mean, like you were talking about earlier, we God wants us engaged in our healing. If you're not sure about that, there's plenty of scriptural examples. Start with the book of James, but we got to get in the game. And so when we're talking about these things, you know, it used to be, hey, don't question the doctor, right? Doctors were almost had a God complex. It was almost like you were like a bad patient if you asked questions. My goodness, we should be asking questions. It's the body that God gave us. We're called to steward. We need to be educated on it, but we often handed our health over. And so what I've really seen is people kind of woke up to this fact. A lot of people have some suspicion now. There's some skepticism about healthcare, about medications, about drugs, about jabs. People are saying, hey, what's going on? And they have every right to ask those questions. So the people that are upset at people asking questions, those are the ones I'd be concerned about. The people that say, hey, that's great, you're asking these questions, those are the people that you want on your team.
Boy, isn't that the case? And before the pandemic, science allowed for questions, dispute, debate, to get boil things down. And when you're in a situation or a scenario where you're not allowed to question, that's a narrative. That's not someone seeking the truth. And so thank you, Lord, that we still do have some freedom. So, okay, when we come back, your podcast is titled Designed to Heal, your devotional Designed to Heal. I would love for you to just talk, give us a little insider's look on, help us understand how God wired our body to heal. Give us some examples of what that might look like. I mean, the fact that your gut got healed, your intestines from these lesions, I mean, and how many other people were on your track and went on to get cancer and die. And like, there is a chance to intervene in your health. I'm just fascinated by it. So just whatever comes to mind about how our bodies are designed to heal, I'd love for you to share. Talking to Dr. Ben Rawl today, his devotional is Designed to Heal, 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness, which, as you know, my passion. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live, and I'm so excited to tell you about my new book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God, 40 Days Toward Healing and Wholeness. Are you ready for a new you? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are living in a world that's been bracing for impact for the last few years, waiting for the next shoe to drop. But did you know that posture is terrible for your physiology, not to mention your faith? God wants to retrain us, to retrain our thinking and our mind and our hearts, to set our eyes on Him, to move from waiting for the next shoe to drop to anticipating the goodness of God. Thanks to our friends from W Publishing, Faith Radio is giving away 100 copies of my new book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God. I hope you will enter the drawing to win, and I pray that you do win. You can enter to win now at myfaithradio.com. This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I said this at the open of the show, but I know if you listen often enough, you love our monthly conversations with Dr. Troy on health and the healing process. So if you love those, you're going to love today's conversation, talking to another doc, much like Dr. Troy, same passion for healing, Dr. Ben Rawl. He's got a podcast titled Designed to Heal and a devotional titled Designed to Heal, 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness. And if you need short readings where you're reading scripture, you're reading about your body, you're looking at an encouragement for your heart just to take heart, to consider what God might have for you, and then to take action. These are short segments, quick reads, but I wouldn't say race through them. Take your time. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So, Doc, I really would love for you just to talk about how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. How is it that our body is designed to heal?
It's one of my favorite topics, and I'm honored to talk about it. Matter of fact, one of my premises would be that the more we actually knew about that, the more we understood how fearfully and wonderfully made, literally just kind of in an inverse relationship, the more you know about that, the less fear you will have regarding your health. So many people, again, that I talk with, and you see this even in prayer groups or church groups or just conversation with people, a lot of times, you know, even as we head into the holidays towards the end of the year here, it's you get together and it seems the topic of conversation is who has a new diagnosis, who has a new label, what happened to Uncle Bob, these types of conversations. And I see so much fear related to health, especially even in the body of Christ. And it shouldn't be that way. It says that He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows the hairs on our head. He has plans for us. He knows the days of our lives. And so it's really important to have this perspective. However, again, like you said, I don't think people really have enough of an appreciation for how fearfully and wonderfully we made are. So I'll give you a couple of examples. But just like it's really important that we understand the wages of sin, that we understand that what we deserve and in the eyes of the Lord, what sin does to His heart, that leads us into repentance, right? And so the same thing with our bodies. If we don't understand how amazing they are, we'll kind of take them for granted. So I'll give you just a few, to me, amazing things. So, for example, your body's constantly regenerating, rebuilding itself, literally like brand new, which is amazing. The inside lining of your stomach is new about every 4 to 5 days. Your bones turn themselves over constantly. You have little cells that are building new bone and other parts that are taking away the bone, and it's regenerating. These things we think are these like static things in our lives, they're constantly being, repaired and rebuilt. Each one of your kidneys has over 1 million tiny little filters inside of them. It's unbelievable what it does. Your liver that we think about and we rarely think about is constantly making. For example, your liver makes 90 to 95% of the cholesterol that's in your body that the world is bad and the enemy. God created you to actually make that, and it makes a ton of it because it's in every single one of your cells inside of your body. You have I'm always fascinated that right now as we sit here, your heart's beating, your lungs are breathing, your eyes are blinking, your ears are healing, yet you haven't thought about any of it. Thank goodness you don't have to do that. One thing that's always fascinated me is in all of human history, with all the time and money and energy and resources that have been spent on trying to care for and or improve the body and all the scientific breakthroughs, which I have no problem with, but listen to this. Your body, no scientist or any research or anything, they've never been able to make one single living cell. We can manipulate them. We can take them and do different things to them, but we can't build one and then say life. God does that. But in the 15, 20 minutes that we've been talking, your body has literally made – the power of God in your body has literally made millions of those. So when I think about this, the reason this is an encouragement is because if you're sitting in your house or you're listening to the show and you're going, man, but I don't I don't feel good, or which I understand. And, or I just, you know, I don't know if I can get better. Like, understand, there is so many amazing healing things happening inside of your body. Your body literally destroys 1,000 to 10,000 cancer cells every single day. People say, oh, you know, how are we going to cure cancer? Your body cures it every single day. Now, we don't think about it like that. We often just think like we're this time bomb waiting to go off, like God's out to get us, like God messed up. We blame our genetics. We blame all these other things. And yet we're so amazing. We have over 100, we have about 100 trillion cells in our body. And inside of each one of those cells is literally upwards to trillions of atoms. So if you just did the math on that, I'm not very good at math, that's an unbelievable number. All of that is happening to the 8 billion people on this planet right now under God's authority. That's amazing to think that two half cells come together and 9 months later, a little breathing baby comes out. That's fascinating. No doctor does that. No pill does that. No potion does that. The power of God does that. And we need to appreciate. We need to appreciate that. And to the level that we spend, but see, we spend so much time talking about diseases, diagnoses, and labels, which, by the way, just keep getting to be a longer list ever since we've been alive. As a matter of fact, as I was driving just today, as I was coming home after seeing patients this morning, I was honestly a little, I don't want to say I was frustrated, because that sounds like, it's not at my patients I'm not frustrated. I'm frustrated at a model and a culture that speaks so much disease into people. And we spend so much time on that, yet we rarely, just the 2 minutes I spent talking about just a fraction of the incredible things that God does in our body in every single millisecond, give God the glory for that.
Yeah.
One of our ways of worshiping is actually by caring for our bodies. You know, when people say, oh, I don't like to exercise, I don't like to do this, I don't like to do that, I say, listen, it doesn't really matter if you like to do it. Unto the Lord, offer your body up as a living sacrifice. But you can do these things. This is a form of worship to the Lord, saying, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you for sure, we're all at some point, we're going to die. We're going to, get to, meet our Lord. And thankfully, for those of us that are saved, we're having eternal life with him. But make no mistake, there's a purpose for your time on this planet. This isn't a waiting room for heaven. You have work to do here, and you need your health to do that. And so I get fired up about it. Because
I'm with you, bud. Hallelujah. Somebody got to text me an amen. I'm trying not to jump up and down. I mean, truly, amen, amen, with all my heart, amen. And I'm thinking of the hindrances to our health that are ours alone, that we own. As you say, we identify. We're so quick to accept labels of diagnoses, so quick to accept the fears around diagnoses, because fear has been wielded, especially in the last few years. And I think I said this on your show, but I've said it on my show before, but in the early years of my battle with Lyme, when I was just so terrified because nobody knew much about it 30 years ago and the neurological symptoms were scary. And I remember the Lord so clearly whispering, I could heal you today, but you'd lose it tomorrow. And I'm like, what? And he said, because you think like a sick person. You don't even have the infrastructure for healing. And I was a fitness person, so I understood physiology, anatomy, and all that. But my brain was chasing down the symptoms, like, what next? What does that mean? What does that mean? And I paused, I stepped back, and I thought, okay, I know enough about anatomy. Lord, I thank you for muscles that engage without me telling them to. I thank you for blood that courses through my veins. And that was many, many years ago. And it changed something in me, Ben. And I'm imagining, as you're testifying to how fearfully and wonderfully made, you're the doc, so you'll have to speak to this. But as a layperson, I'm imagining that there are synapses firing in your body, feel-good hormones being released, because you're actually speaking life over life. Do you know what I'm saying? Versus if you are totally, constantly, really hypochondriac-like, looking at everything and staying in the ditch around all the fear around health, that affects your physiology, what you think about. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, well, it's really become somehow, I do know how, but I mean, even like you said, that my book is called Designed to Heal. My podcast is called Designed to Heal. I mean, almost every day I wear a shirt that just says Designed to Heal, because it's like a mantra that I feel I need to speak into people's lives. You're right. Like, so one of, like the word admonishment, I've heard one of the definitions, it's speaking high octane faith into somebody, right? And sometimes I just have to look a person in the eye, have to almost grab my patient by the shoulders and just look them in the eyes and just speak into them. And I get emotional because I just feel like I'm just trying to go right to their heart and say, listen, God designed you to heal. And people say, oh, that's false hope. People say, oh, you can't say that. There's no such thing as false hope. There's hope and no hope. And the hope that we have is in our King. Okay. And so I don't play these games and people say, well, how can you make promises? I said, I don't make promises. I simply, by telling somebody they are dying, designed to heal is not false hope. And I'm not making promises. That is the truth. And so many times, you bring it up a good point. Like, it's fascinating. People say, oh, no, I don't really do that. Some people say, oh, I'm realistic, this type of thing. Listen, that is, you are buying into the enemy's lies, because most of the time that is a justification to simply remain sick, to blame somebody, something, somebody else, take no responsibility, take no ownership. Again, if he says that these bodies were given to us as a gift, they're creating this, like, it's unbelievable. You know, we spend about $4.5-5 trillion a year on healthcare in the United States, yet we're ranked, last one I saw was 38th in overall healthcare. We spend the most, everybody knows that, yet we're getting sicker and sicker and sicker. We're the most medicated nation on the planet. We're taking more drugs, more pills, more things than ever before, more labels, more diagnosis. We have more doctors. We have more of the drugs. We have more of the testing, yet we're getting sicker. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I think we would say something's not working. We've taken God out of healthcare. And this is important for people to understand. But you need to know this. We don't hand over what marriage should look like to the world. We don't hand over financial responsibility and fiscal responsibility and what that world has to say about that. If we listen to the world on that, it would tell us that it doesn't matter who you marry, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what your lifestyle looks like. Or you'd say with money, you'd say, hey, just buy everything on credit and it doesn't matter. And we know that that is ungodly. But for some reason, with our health, we've handed that over to man. And I'm telling you, that's a problem. You know, that's one of the things that happened to Asa. I brought this up at the beginning. King Asa, it says even at the end, basically 36 years of wonderful kingship, and then he falls away. He begins to trust in the things that God gave him instead of God himself. And he tries to hire other people to fight his wars for him, and he gets in trouble for that. And because of that, it says that he turned away his heart, and he got sick. And it says even in the end, he wouldn't turn to God. He went to man. It literally says he did not go to God. He went to physicians. Now, I'm not anti-doctor, but there is a priority on how this works. Do not let man be an idol in your life in any area. And regarding health, it's between you and God. You need to take most of the things that go on in your life and your health and your you know, disease processes are the daily decisions that you make, how you move, how you think, what you feed yourself, things like that. Of course, I support, you know, taking care of yourself. And sometimes you need to get a team of doctors and the Dr. Troy and others that you're talking about and your friends. Most people, though, they think their health is the insurance card that's in their wallet and the annual blood test that they get. And they just wait for some disease. And I'm telling you, if that's how you're operating in healthcare, that's not healthcare.
Wow. Pausing right now. I'm talking to Dr. Ben Rawl. Somebody, I'm sure, needs to text me an amen. His book, Designed to Heal. We'll be back in a moment. This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Ben Rawl. He's a functional med doc. He's an author, a podcast host, and we're drawing from his devotional, Designed to Heal, which is also the title of his podcast. I love that phrase. I love that truth. We are designed to heal. The subtitle of his book is 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness. And if you know me, this is my lane. This is where I live on so many levels. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. That's just 877-933-2484. And Ben, in your book on day 26, the title of that day's reading is What's Your Goliath? And you reference 1 Samuel 17. It says, David said to the Philistines, you come against me with sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies, the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And I was thinking about that story. David's own brothers accused him of having wrong motives. And I would love for you just to say a word from your perspective about that face-off.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're kind of heading into, you know, heading towards the new year when people hear this, and that's the time we often think about New Year's resolutions, right? And we want to make these different choices. Matter of fact, Suzy, there was a study that just had recently come out of the Journal of the American Medical Association just a couple of weeks ago. It was kind of popular news for just a minute, but it was concerning because it showed that life expectancy had dropped lower than it had in many years. Matter of fact, right now in the United States, men are down to 73.2 years compared to women, which is 79.1, which is really staggering to think that just as a citizen, right? And so I think a lot of people, from my perspective, Suzy, when I think about health and healing, I think a lot of people's Goliath is stewarding their lives. I am not downplaying other tragedies that happen, other impossible odds, the things that show up in our life, relationships, finances, things like that. My lane is health. And I've seen so many people, what I would say, Susie, is almost throwing their hands up in the air. And what I love about David is this. David shows, I mean, I love David for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But when you just think about David's life, he was never in this, you know, supernaturally, of course, he was where he was supposed to be. But in the worldly sense, he was always forgotten, right? He was the one they would just overlook. I mean, he shows up, he's delivering food, yet he's like, why? It didn't make sense to him. He saw what was happening, but he knew his God and he knew the promises of his God. And he knew that his God would be with him. And so that is what gave him the courage. Here's my point in saying that, Doc, Susie, is this. Whatever you're facing in your health, I've always tried to lose weight and blank. I want to get healthy. I want to get more energy. I want to sleep better. I want to see if I can get off medications. Whatever your Goliath is in your life, you probably have felt like you just don't think you can do it. And I have good news and bad news. You're probably right, but but with God you can, and I don't mean that as a loose motivating quote. I mean that as a truth. When we can begin to see that caring for our bodies is not vanity or pride, it's actually a form of worship to our God, and that's what I want people to understand. David was actually required by his faith to stand up against Goliath. Okay, we are required by our faith to steward our bodies. I'm not talking about this like you're a bad person if you eat a piece of pizza, it's a sin. No, that's not what I'm saying here. I want you to have a different perspective. I want you to know and remind you that you were created in his likeness and image. That's a big deal. That's a big, big, big deal. And because of that reality, as believers, then the outpouring to that is actions like David, right? We're wow. not afraid. We just step in. We understand we have the Holy Spirit within us. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And then we live like that. And of course it matters what we eat and how we move and all those things that we're just, you know, responsible for as believers.
Boy, there's so much I want to say to that. You know, I've mm. used David's story in mm. times past when I've been speaking about when you think about he was this ruddy teenage boy. And when Goliath tried to spew personal insults at him, mm. he would not take them personally. Even when his own mm. brothers, who he should have, mm. they should have had his back, were spewing and signing a modus to him that actually belonged to them. That didn't go in. What stands out to me is twofold. One is identity, and the other is the right community, because then his identity was so imprinted on him, because he said, who is this Philistine that dares defy the armies of the living God? So he didn't really align with his naysayers, even though they were some of the closest people in proximity. Wow. He aligned with a cloud of witnesses. You know, he thought, you come against me, you come against the armies of the living God. And I feel like, Ben, the way that we can truly heal physiologically, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually, is those two things, identity and community, rightly placed community. For one, that you know your identity in Christ, and two, that you are walking at least in some form with people of like-mindedness, of faith, who believe the same thing. I've read so many books on healing, and it is so interesting. The people that really seem to make leaps and bounds strides, especially in the critical moments, they're so careful about who they allow in their inner circle. They're, you know, like Darlene Check. I don't know if you remember her. She sang Shout to the Lord. She used to be a Hillsong worship leader years ago. She was on the verge of death three times with cancer. And she said to me when I interviewed her years ago, she said, Susie, some didn't like this, but she said, people who were speaking fear into me at that point, I had to eliminate them from the inner circle. I was fighting for my life. I had to be with people who were speaking the same things God was speaking to me. So that's a long way of saying, I mean, even the verse you used, you talked about, let's see here, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So from your doctor perspective, the people that you see do really well, I would guess that you see in them a strong sense of identity. You know, that they kind of know, I'm a child of God. And two, they've maybe been strategic about their community. What say you?
Well, I think I'm going to stop talking. I want to listen to you. That is so critical. My first office I ever opened in South Dakota, the first office I ever had was called Inspired Chiropractic. And people would ask me, why did I call it that? And I said, because there's a difference between motivation and inspiration. Motivation is something that somebody does from the outside, okay, right? Hey, they wake you up, they're yelling at you, get out of bed, let's go run 5 miles. Inspiration, I've heard it said, is motivation is something somebody makes you do. Inspiration is something that somebody can't stop you from doing, right?
Cool.
It's that special something. It's that thing inside of us. I was just talking about this morning with my staff, which is we heal from above down, inside out. This idea, this reality, I should say, of God, right, above and then comes down, right, and then resides inside. And then we heal from the inside out. And it's always that way. Now, some people say, well, what do you mean you heal from the inside out? I eat healthy and I heal. It's not from the outside. No, what's still happening, it still has to be dealt with, internalized, you know, assimilated inside of us. And I would say all things work that way when it comes to true healing. Now, you touched on a couple of points. I think this is fascinating. A lot of people want to lose weight. I hear that all the time. I deal with it every day. The most successful weight loss program of all time, and you might know this, Susie, is Weight Watchers. They've studied these, and actually the other one that's different than Weight Watchers, but just successful programs over time has been AA. And the one thing that these share similarly together is accountability. Just what you said when you talked about the right company, right? These are people that come in your sponsors. They come stand beside you. On the Weight Watchers, the success that they've had, they don't have special food necessarily. You know, they teach. It's every week they get together and they get on the scale, right? That's accountable. You're going to stand there amongst your peers, amongst your friends, people that are with you, people that are supporting you. And I have seen that. We're doing a big event in the first of the year to help people get their health back. And that's what I'm talking about is accountability, helping them. And I see it so many times, Susie, where their spouse is not supportive, or maybe their friends aren't. You've heard the saying before, show me your five closest friends, I'll show you you. I don't totally love that, because I believe as believers, we're called to be amongst, right? And we're called to be out there and be salt and light. So I don't take this as some self-help 101, build your perfect life. I think we're called to a different life. However, do take inventory on that. The last little piece on identity, or a little bit I would say there, is David is a great example. I read a book one time. I know you're a reader like I am. It was called When David Perceived He Was King, written by a gentleman, Dale Mast. But he just talks about that the delta, the time between when David was, right, anointed in oil and when David actually, right, took the throne. And we sometimes forget that when we're reading scriptures, you know, we just don't see the timeline sometimes, right? Joshua was another Moses, you know, the time between some of these things that happened, Noah building the ark, and really to appreciate that. And so the Lord had to do things in David's life, even though he got anointed in that moment to be king, it was his destiny, but the walking that out was the process. And so your identity, and I don't mean this as self-love. We have too much of that, you know, it's all about me, this selfish culture that we kind of live in. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying a recognition that you were created in his likeness and image. That's your identity. Now, out of that, again, is a humble response of gratitude. It reminds me when they said, you know, isn't God's grace, talking to Paul, isn't his grace going to make us sin more? And Paul says quite the opposite should be the case, right? His kindness leads us to repentance. This is like 180. This is why the gospel is so amazing. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is always counterculture. His ways are always unique. When I'm talking about caring for the body, it's not, you know, so we can lose 10 pounds so we look good in the Christmas picture. What I'm talking about is, again, understanding that I was bought for a price. My body is not my own, right? He beats my heart. He watches over. He knows the hairs on my head. He sustains me. He knows the days of my life. This is important. Out of that is where we steward our health. We take care of our bodies, not legalistically, not in that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about from a gratitude, grateful, thankful perspective of identity and right company.
Love that so much. It's an offering back to God. In fact, I was going to bring that up, that our bodies are the temple. We've been bought with a price. You know, Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows it very well. And so as we're going to break, friend, that's the challenge, I think, is you think, what's hindering me from flourishing, from healing, from maybe even moving to the next place? I'm not at all saying ditch your current friends, but let's just say none of your friends exercise and all of them trash their bodies. and you really want to make some changes. I'm not saying ditch your friends, but what if you joined a walking club or a running club or joined a health club or got a personal trainer where you kind of acquired a new company of people that you walk with in that phase of life? Or maybe you don't ever study scriptures. Join BSF. Join a Bible study where you make some strategic changes. And then you also take a look, take inventory. What am I believing about myself? Because I guarantee you, before an upgrade comes, you've got to take inventory of the story you're telling yourself. So that is so good. And the take action step in Ben's reading of that day is this. Do you have a Goliath in your life? An addiction, broken relationship, a fear, a regret? Do you believe God can deliver you? Are you trying to do it without God? Are you too afraid to even try? Today is the day. I would say every devotional in Design to Heal is motivating like that. And what I love about Ben's message that I wholeheartedly agree with is God wants our participation. In fact, so much of what he wants for us won't happen without us. Talking to Dr. Ben Rall today, his book, Design to Heal, 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness. And Ben, on the other side, I'd love for you to say a few words about fasting. You've got some devos in there in your book about fasting, just from a physiological, physical perspective and a spiritual perspective, your perspective on fasting. More with Dr. Ben Rall in a moment. I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. When you sponsor a child in need, you change their life. Your child learns that God loves them more than they can imagine and that he has special plans for their life. Your child gets help with school and is taught leadership, life skills, and how to overcome poverty and even succeed in life. Your child will get nutritious food and vital medical care that often saves lives. You might not be able to change the world, but for one child, you can change theirs. Meet the kids and find your child at myfaithradio.com. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Well, I pray it's a great day for you. It sure is over here at Susie Larson Live talking to our friend, Dr. Ben Rall. He's a functional med doc, a podcast host, and an author. And we're drawing from his devotional book. It's a 365 daily reading, Designed to Heal, which is also the title of his podcast, 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness. And we share a similar passion that God wants you to show up in your life feeling like your best self. I mean, truly, and again, this isn't self-help. It's not bootstrap theology. It really is stewarding the temple that God's entrusted you because you've been bought with a price. And it just feels better to feel better. And there are things you can do, tweaks you can make even today to just change your perspective, change your stride. And right now, I'd love to hear from you, Ben, thoughts on fasting, both from a physiological perspective and a spiritual perspective.
Yeah, fasting. I love to talk about fasting. I feel like it's one of those things that we live in this foodie culture, right? It seems like I think ever since social media started and people started taking pictures of their meals and sending them, pictures of fasting meals aren't that interesting. But people, it's one of these things that became, again, it's more interesting to people. Hey, where are we eating tonight? What's the great new restaurant? What's the great new recipe? Listen, I'm not opposed to wonderful food and meals, and these are things that the Lord has created us. Of course, I encourage us to eat as clean as possible. However, we need to understand the reality and the importance of fasting. Now, there is a lot of different kinds of fast. A lot of people in the church world think about like the Daniel fast, which I think is awesome. There is those kinds of fasting. There's more longer fast, like water fasting, or you can honestly, you can fast from other things. People can fast from technology. People fast from sugar. People fast from, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of them, but just talking kind of the basic fasting, meaning not eating normal meals like people often do. The most common form that people do, you hear a lot about, is called intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting, the most common one is people basically don't eat after 8 p.m., which generally is a good idea physiologically anyway, based on most people's bedtimes. It allows your body time to digest the food that you eat, so that doesn't disrupt your sleep. Anybody that's had a bowl of ice cream at 11 o'clock at night and then try to tell me how they feel in the morning knows that that's not usually a good idea. So, and then the typical intermittent fast is basically don't eat after 8, and then you break your fast at noon the next day. So that gives you about 16 hours of fasting, or time that you're not eating or having food in your digestion. There's a lot of powerful benefits to that. Now, as a quick caveat, just an asterisk, I'm not, you know, giving medical advice over the airwaves here. If you have underlying medical conditions, things like diabetes and things, this is an area where you would want somebody on your team to help you understand this. But for most of us that are out there, we really need to be able, I tell people this sometimes with fasting, and they go, oh, I could never do that. I can't imagine not eating breakfast. My friends, I need to tell you, part of a sign of a healthy body is actually a body that can handle fasting, a body that can have some metabolic flexibility that you cannot eat for a meal and not die. Okay. And I mean that somewhat tongue in cheek, but people will say, oh, I can't do that. I'm just starving to death. We need to be able to do this. I mean, this very genuinely. It's like if you walked up a set of stairs and you were exhausted after one flight of stairs, you wouldn't say stairs are bad. You'd say, my goodness, why can't I do a set of stairs? If you can't skip a meal and then physiologically feel like you're going to lose it, that's not a good sign of metabolic health, okay? And it also reveals so quickly the things that we depend on. People realize, man, I can't imagine if I don't have my Frappuccino this morning or my whatever, I don't think I can get through the day. I know we joke about these T-shirts that we see sometimes, right? Give me my coffee and my, you know, Jesus. And I'm not talking light of that. But I mean this just heart to heart to people listening. Let's make sure that we understand who feeds us ultimately, right? And who is our daily bread? And that is the word of God. And that is part of what fasting is all about spiritually. It's a reminder. It is, again, back to this idea of worship. It is a form of worship. We're saying, you are my daily bread. I will sustain you on my word alone. And we can do this. I would tell you, we need to do this. I fast regularly, just honestly, just to remind myself of the authority of God in my life. It exposes so many just addictions that we have. I never realized I always ate this, or you start to see, wow, I get stressed then. And I reach, you know, to the food. Now, some people have the opposite. Some people absolutely struggle not eating. And that's not what I'm talking about on this today. All right. I want to people encourage the Daniel fast is something beautiful. There's other plans, Whole30 and things like that. There's some extreme fasting. I encourage people start somewhere. Start, do one day and just see what the Lord has to do. And every time you feel those hunger pangs, every time you feel like you're getting hangry, as they say, right? Use that. That's the reminder in those moments to lean on God, right? To lean, it says, we bring all things to him in prayer and petition. This is part of the point of fasting. And there's too many scriptural references to mention about the importance of fasting from the Lord himself. And so if you're looking for breakthrough in your life, Jesus will not be mocked, and he's not somebody that we can use as a cookie cutter. But I'm telling you, if you are, especially towards the end of this year, if you have something that you are praying on, pressing in on, family, health, relationships, I would encourage you to consider some fasting regimen to really lean in to the Lord and see and listen to him. It gives us a clarity, a closeness, a nearness to his voice, and fasting is a very big deal.
Wow, I so agree. We've seen some major breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. And there's just something really powerful. Like Paul said, I buffet my body and make it my slave. There is something powerful in a day of no restraint to practice restraint. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, to just say no to your flesh and make your flesh deal with it. And I don't know. I think there's something so beautiful about that when it's not just a rigid discipline, but as you said, an offering unto the Lord. We just got a couple minutes left, but there's also, aren't there healing effects like internally when your body gets a break from having to digest things?
Yeah. So just real quick. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. So, and again, this is all, if you're listening to this, please, depend on your battles or your struggles, you know, work with somebody on this. But I'll give you one example on water fasting in particular. So when you hit that 3-day mark, usually into that 72nd hour, we see basically a massive release of stem cells, and the body really hits this almost renewing. Some of the books I've read on this and doctors I know, they'll talk about almost like you almost get like a new immune system. You almost get this like turnover in your body, which can be absolutely revitalizing for people. I know some fasting institutes out in California, for example, where they do 21 days of water fasting. But when you give that a break, when my father was healing naturally from stage 4 cancer, he was going through a fasting process, and it was a juice fast, organic juice fast. And I remember the doctor saying, listen, it's not that food is bad to my dad. They say, he just said, we're giving the body a chance to rest and focus on the areas that it needs to heal. Digesting food takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of metabolism of your body. So when you give it a break, to your point, Susie, when you give it a break, it says, okay, I can focus all my energy on that particular area, right? Whether there's some sort of breakthrough, maybe it's digestion, maybe it's your lungs. Maybe it's your mind. Maybe it's your thyroid. I don't know. That's, you know, between you and God, but you're great. That's a great point. We give ourselves a break from that. It really just, maybe I'll say it this way, just allows the Lord to really focus on those areas of your life that need, you know, extra healing.
Wow. Ben, the time goes by so fast when we get to talk, but this has been fantastic and so helpful. And friend, I pray you feel motivated like you've never been motivated before to care for your health. And thanks for all you do, Ben, and I sure appreciate your friendship.
Of course. Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, such a good conversation. Dr. Ben Rawl is my guest. His book, as well as his podcast, is titled Designed to Heal, 365 Daily Inspirations for Health and Wholeness. And you hear me say this all the time, every step towards healing and wholeness matters. Everyone. So maybe ask God, what's my step today? What's the next right thing I can do today? He cares about this because he delights in every detail of your life. He wants you well. He wants you to flourish. So trust him. Follow his lead. You'll be amazed at what he does. Have a really blessed day, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.